zu Gast jetzt hier im Studio Hotcha, die Band aus Kopenhagen und aus New York. Hello, pleased to meet you, pleased to have you here.
Thanks, pleased to be here.
Claudius Tenboy Levinson und F.W. Smoltz, ihr seid Hotcha, you are Hotcha and you are on two continents, from Copenhagen and in New York. How do you keep things going and keep yourself updated?
Well, so far it's been pretty easy. I mean, the fact that Boy and Matthias are in the same place makes, I mean, that's the basis for all the music. I mean, that's the rhythm section and everything that's there. So as far as writing the music since the beginning, most of the music has come from Boy. As far as the guitar is concerned, I mean, Matthias has written a few songs as well, but I don't really write any of the musical part as far as the instrumentation is concerned. So I only have to deal with melodies and lyrics. So if they sit together and work on some stuff and then I come in, it's actually quite an easy operation for me. It's not the way I generally used to make music. I would usually sit with a band for a long period of time and we'd work out the songs together, but this is a different way of doing it, and it seems to be working out pretty well. It actually forces me to think in a different way.
But you had that before, that you worked together in the same place?
Yes,
we did. You used to live there?
Yes, when I was living in Copenhagen, we were working. But even then, actually, the songs were pretty much done before I showed up. These guys planned things way ahead of me. I'm the slow one.
You've been very fast this time.
Oh, yeah, okay.
How is that for you, for the rhythm section, working without the singer?
Nothing's really planned before. It's not that songs are written or anything. It's just made up at the... when we record. So there's no songs done or anything.
Different perspective.
There's a lot of freedom to it compared to sitting in a studio with four different or three different musicians, and then you jam something and then you try to decide which is, where do you want to go together, and there's a lot of talking. And when you just, in this case, just a guitar and drums and a recording environment, or where there is a possibility to play something, and if you like it, then you just hit the record button and then you move on very, very fast. And I think that's a very energy-saving process.
Yeah. How did this happen in the actual recording process when you were doing the flood?
What do you mean? I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
Yeah, the mood in the studio and the actual recording process?
The rest of the recordings, yeah, and the two previous albums, we just, oh, actually the first one we were all together all the time.
Yeah, the first one we actually went through the songs together on acoustic guitar before we actually recorded it, so we did have a little bit more.
The two next ones was like, Claudius was in New York, so and we just had to do something, so we just went into the studio and played, and then we decided that's it. And then Claudius came by and,
did a pretty good job.
Yeah, I mean, this particular record was actually, I don't know if it was the fastest that we did, because they all generally, we do them pretty quickly. But I mean, in my own head, because I had very little time with it, these guys, I don't know how long it took them to record their parts, but they sent me some ideas while I was in New York, and I heard some of the stuff, and it was pretty much basically done, but I didn't really have any opportunity to, like, absorb it. I mean, I was like, oh, it was inspirational. I was like, oh, that's cool. I can imagine doing this. And then they also had some ideas of what they would like on it, so like some of the things that I had thought about originally wasn't what I ended up doing, because they also had some ideas like, oh, yo, why don't you just throw some rhymes on that one. I was like, really? But it worked. But it worked out. And so we went into the studio, and I think, I mean, I was in Copenhagen, I think, for 10 days maybe. I don't know if that's how long, how many. I don't even think we had that many days in the studio, and it was quite a blur. I mean, it was just like, yeah, just, you have to focus your energy, and you have just a very limited amount of time. And I'm actually quite surprised how well it came out, because it just felt like I didn't, it was like, it was from somewhere else. It's just kind of like you just have to do it, and you're like forced to do it, and then you just get it down and get it done, and you wake up and all of a sudden you have this album in front of you. So it was actually a pretty unique experience for me anyway, from my point of view. It was something I hadn't done it that way before, so, but it worked out pretty well.
You were talking about the freedom in the studio. You were talking about the fixed, ready-made songs, and you were talking about the improvisation in the studio.
No, it was fixed, ready-made songs. It was totally open for him to what he wanted to sing.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's not like, yeah, the structures are there as far as the music is concerned, but it doesn't mean that I have to apply any standard way of doing anything. I mean, I can do whatever I want on top of that. I mean, if you follow traditional, like, verse, chorus, verse, or sing over, you know, that has never been the case with any of the music that we do. So I could do whatever I want, but, of course, limited within what's actually there. I'm not going to sing when there's no music playing. That's kind of at the end of the song, sing another eight bars just to have my
That's
own.
Kind of the nice thing about this trio that it's just there's drums and one note instrument and one singer. So I mean, you can't fuck it up that much.
No. So I mean, yeah,
it gives you a lot of freedom.
Yeah, in that sense, I think so. I mean, it is a very interesting way of thinking about freedom, I think, because it allows me, in my perspective, to roam all over the stuff, especially when it is actually already recorded, because then they're not relying on me to keep a rhythm. The rhythm is there, and I can just step all over the beat and go back and forth and change my dynamics in a way that is just like, you know, probably a little bit advantageous to me.
And for you as a guitar player, there's no bass. As you do sing, you're the only melody instrument.
Yes, you just have to put in a lot of low end. And yeah, that's what I meant. I mean, you can't play a wrong note, right? Because you don't have to agree
with another guy.
Yeah.
But sometimes I sit on the drums and it feels wrong, but. Yeah, this doesn't mean anything because I just sit on the snare drum and boy says it's in tune, so everything's good.
Yeah.
Do you miss the bass for the rhythm section sometimes?
Yeah, between you and me, yes. Very much. I'm glad that you just would be great with a five bass string. A guy that would be slapping the bass like but very funky. Hard funk guy. But no, it was just a joke. No, I don't miss the bass.
But Cloris is too lazy to pick up the bass.
Oh man, that's not true at all. That's not true at all. I play. Yo man, all right, on the next album I'm playing bass.
No, he's not.
Yes, I am.
Me too.
Yeah.
But no, it's kind of funny. I mean, because Boy puts a lot of effort into making things very bottom. You know, he puts in a lot of layers with the sounds, and now on this record also we used the record before was even more layers. It was kind of crazy. We did a lot of weird shit on that record. This one is a bit more. Closer to the first one as far as the layering is concerned, but he's doing a lot rhythmically that, I mean, although the bass is a tonal instrument, I mean, mostly what it secures is the rhythmic sense. And if you have a drummer who's keeping a steady rhythm and Boy is also playing very good rhythm, you don't really miss the element of the bass except for, maybe that overall tone. But if he's hitting all kinds of crazy effects and doing weird things, it kind of absorbs that space. And then I mean, oftentimes I sing in a kind of low register, so then that kind of makes up for that bottom space that is missing. But of course you have your traditional rock heads who will be like, yo, where's the bass? And every bass player we meet is like, don't you need a bass player? So
but he has to be very cheap, because the reality of touring these days is also it's an expensive endeavor, you know. So you're not going on a road with a big band, so going on a road as a trio, that's like having like an 18 piece swing dance band in 1942.
Right.
It's just too expensive now, so we have to cut down. So I'm very curious about who's the next guy out of the three of us who gets cut out, so we can make some money.
So for economic reasons, everything is happening in Hoxha.
Yeah.
And what about the album title, The Flood?
I think that just
that's
came
from the song.
It just came naturally, and it's funny how sometimes these things occur. I mean, how your mind works. Now, the more I go back and listen to the record, I start to put together all these different elements of how these songs make sense to me. I mean, maybe they didn't. Maybe as someone else will have a completely different interpretation. But everything seemed to line up this proper way, like this kind of flood of emotion, this flood of music, just a new beginning for us as a band as well, and for myself being in New York, and it was rainy season when we came in, and just everything kind of feeds into this idea of just kind of overwhelming sensation of everything that's happening with me personally in my own personal life, and also with the music.
So what about the mood and the situation when you're writing the songs and the lyrics? Well, not the songs, the lyrics.
Well, most of the stuff was stream of consciousness. So they would play it. I have a notebook that I have a few words in, a couple lines. And if I can fit them somehow into it, then I will work from those couple lines and then continue. But most of it, I will just close my eyes. I will let the music tell me what to sing. And especially with the song The Flood, that just was, I had no lyrics before it. I just heard it and I just started singing. And at the time it was, it was kind of a romantic ode. You know, I just kind of thinking about a flood of emotions for love, you know. And that's how everything kind of was built out of that.
Going to the studio with no lyrics ready and then you can manage and you keep that, you're singing first?
Yeah, well, most of the time. Not all the time.
But some things also, then while you sing or while you drum, or while, I guess also while you play guitar, what you record when you record so fast, it's not necessarily what you play maybe after the fifth or sixth or tenth live show or after the fifth rehearsal, because then you would just find out, okay, that really worked in the moment, but you cannot get the rhythm to sound good that way. So also in the singing for me sometimes, then you leave something out and put something else in, but the core of what's recorded is what we try to
that, actually, that's a really good point, because a lot of the stuff where it is off the top of my head and I just kind of made it up, there's no way I'm repeating that again.
And it's not necessary to repeat it.
No, like it's that, not. You know? I mean, it's like once you have the feeling of what it is that you're doing. I mean, sometimes in the moment when we're playing, it's not about like, oh my God, these lyrics have to be exactly what it is. It's about what they mean to me. So if I get a different, because we have a lot of spoken word parts. So if I get a different sensation that evening, I'm not necessarily going to repeat exactly what I put on the record. I'm going to say how I'm feeling at that particular moment. Hopefully I can get it to rhyme, if rhyming is important.
So every recording is different and every show is different.
A little bit.
You're playing.
Definitely
a lot
actually. That was especially on the last record. I mean, I think that was something that we really tried to do, to make things like, to take that kind of approach of being, I don't want to say a jazz band, but like, you know, it's just like being what would you call that?
Freeform.
Yeah. And it's also, in just talking for myself, sometimes it comes out different just for the lack of discipline. It is, because then and it's not that I get distracted, but and then I do something which is maybe not.
But you can only manage if you're a good musician, or if you can listen to the others and adjust to that.
We have one very good musician in the band, so that helps a lot. We can hold on to.
Yeah, why do you say that?
Because it's true.
What's so good about
this one guy?
Yeah, well, this one guy.
No, we don't know who it is, actually. That's the interesting thing. It shifts. Yeah. It's like the fourth member who enters like the body of an individual musician, and then you never know where he is, but he's always in the moment there. If somebody fucks up, there's always one guy who's really good in that moment and
saving.
Most of the time.
It's actually Hoja. He's just jumping from body to body. He's kind of like...
And it hurts.
He's a kind of like the Ghostbuster.
Yeah, who's Hoja?
Who's Hoja? That's a mystery.
The fourth member. Is there a story about the name?
Yes. Mm. It's coming out of... I can say it in German, but I won't.
Yeah, good. Say it in German. I think that's very important.
No. No, and now I realize I cannot even say it in German. it's out of I missed two words, so I can't explain it. So
the original story is that, like, the names very specifically comes traced back to like Persian times, but the idea of the character of Hoxha is something that you find in many different cultures. It's kind of he's kind of a mythical character. Well, actually, there was kind of a Sufi, the type of person who you would see at by the side of a king, who a king would go to rely on to ask him a question, and then he'd give him a very really really good non-answer. You know, my favorite story that we always put up on the website about Hoxha is that Hoxha, one of his neighbors came to him and said, you know, he at the time he was kind of like the mayor of the town. So he comes in, his neighbor comes to him, he goes, ah, da, 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 and he's complaining about another neighbor. He's saying he did this and this and this. And Hoxha says, ah, you're absolutely right. And so the other neighbor who he had complained about comes in and says, ah, man, but this guy, he did this and this and this and this. And Hoxha says, you're absolutely right. And his wife, who had been sitting behind him listening all this time, she goes, they both can't be right. And Hoxha says, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's not, you know, it's kind of that philosophy, you know, of just
that's
being
how we discussed in the bus.
No, yeah, no, we don't.
No, we don't.
That's why we fight sometimes. Right.
That's why we argue sometimes. We have to practice that approach. But it's true, because everybody is right in their own mind all the time. And it's just the will of opening up for the reality of the other person you maybe struggle with or want to get closer with. And that is like something, yeah, as ancient as Claudius just said, it popped up 3,000 years ago, and then we're struggling with it today. So I really like that this guy who has some kind of a strategy about how to approach this problem is the name of our band. And I just met someone here in Tübingen yesterday, in the place where we live, and she opened the door, and I recognized her, and I gave her a hug, and I asked her, is everything all right? And she looked at me, not really. And then I said, so what is it? And she shook her head, and we hugged, and then I said to her, but you coming tomorrow, which is tonight, to the show? I said, yes. So we're gonna blow you through. Like, and that's also something where I think we can be an active Hoxha every night, and not because we talk as much to the audience as we maybe did with other playing situations, but just because the music washes over the audience, hopefully, and I doubt that they can think about anything else in the moment they hear the music, because it's taking up a lot of space. I'm not saying it's because it's so good, but it takes up so much space and has so much energy. So just the feeling of relieving someone from their thoughts or troubles is, for me, that's really beautiful. That makes it really worthwhile.
Big cleansing.
Yeah, it is. And it is, in a way. It's a flood.
It's a flood, baby.
And with the hidden wisdom kind of thing, like, or
very
is
hidden.
It obvious?
Very hidden.
Yeah, it's. I mean, there's always. I think the most obvious thing is that, you know, we don't have to tell you. We're just reminding you, and we're always thinking. I'm always personally thinking, coming from myself. Hopefully, I'm not coming across as trying to point the finger at somebody else. Oh, this guy is the problem. Like, I mean, everybody complains. Oh, Trump is the problem, or this person is the problem. Well, you know, he's just a person. It's not just, I mean, there's a lot of us in this planet. We can all get together and do a lot of different things and not blame one person for everything. You know, there's no one person who can make us do everything we want to if we all decide to do something else. You know what I'm saying? So every day that I, as far as I'm concerned, I talk about myself. I try to say what my problems are and try to change me, as when I come to dealing with other people, how I deal with the members of my band when we're fighting or trying to figure things out, or how I deal with relationships, whether it's with my parents or with my lover or whatever it is. Hopefully I can find a way to make myself better instead of trying to change the other person.
And we have a song on a recording which is called Ego.
Yeah.
That might be a
Very
that's
good.
That's the absolute truth in that. I mean, actually, this record for me was a real catalyst because I've been coming out of a major depression for the last 2 years. So, like, being able to come out here and put that out and just, like, in a free way, just, like, kind of, like, not thinking about what I was doing and being forced to be in this situation and actually admit to all the things that are going on within me internally without, you know, it was stream of consciousness. So, like, now that I go back and look at it, I say, oh, my God. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Am I really that crazy or whatever, you know? But it was just like a moment to just like relieve myself of all my pain and everything. And hopefully other people identify with that. And it's about, yeah, as you said, ego, this song. It's like keeping it to myself, not trying to put my ego on top of other people. It's, you know, that's a big problem for a lot of people. It's definitely a big problem for me. I have to like keep myself in check and just realize that there's other people in the room too that need space. In fact, don't you gentlemen want to talk?
We have two more people in a room right sitting here with us who don't even have a microphone. I don't know how they feel. No, but it's true. But you are a spokesman. And you're the singer of a band. Like I, so should we hear the ego? I would like to hear the ego song.
You were talking while we were listening to that song that it's difficult to put it live. What was the point?
No, it was no. Oh. It was actually not something
not
to
for the radio.
Share. For, it was just a vocal moment, a small vocal moment in the song. It's not that the song was difficult to play, not at all.
But no, sometimes it's difficult to put the.
The recordings, sometimes the things that you do on a record aren't necessarily the way you can perform them live, because you're just playing in a different way. You have a different type of freedom. And that's, for me, with the vocals all the time. I mean, when I'm sitting in a vocal booth and I have opportunity to do it over and over again and get it perfect, that's different. And when I'm playing, doing it live after doing 12 shows in a row and, you know, and get, you know, it's, you find places that are comfortable for you. It's like any sport, like, you know, as you get... You learn to use your body in a way that is comfortable, because sometimes the things that you could do when you're 16, you're not necessarily doing when you're 999 like me.
What was it?
You look much younger.
Yeah, I know. I'm a vampire.
You look like 810. No, but actually, we were just talking about that I cannot sing my part properly in the chorus.
Why?
So because it's too high. And I could do it in the studio because they gained the microphone all the way up and I could just whisper it. Now I have to scream
it. What he's talking about is while playing loud.
Yeah, while playing loud. Yes. No, it's my incapability of doing a real Queen drummer's high-pitched background. Sorry.
Don't worry. Yeah. And what about your singing voice? It's not only singing, but you're also doing the spoken word stuff, but you have a special way of singing.
Well, you know, it's funny because when I used to live in New York back when I was much younger, like some of the first records that I did, I actually got brought into the studio by this record company, and they wanted me to like throw rap, you know, like when I grew up in New York, I mean, I was around a lot of people. I mean, I was around the Beastie Boys and all these different things. So rap, and I grew up, I love rap. I mean, rapping was natural to me. So that was something I did on some of my first records, like that I actually recorded, but it's not anything that I did necessarily after that, but I did spoken word, which is similar in a sense. And, I mean, and even before we gave the term rap, there was always people doing that kind of thing, speaking and kind of rhyming. So it kind of just fits in. And I try not to do it in the way that it would be necessarily like a challenge to rappers of this modern era. It's not like I'm not a rapper. You know what I'm saying? I'm not. That's not me. I just use all the tools like any writer or any poet, any would. Are available to them. You use all the tools in your book. So if I have the opportunity, just like Bob Dylan would rhyme and spoken word and sing, you know, I will use whatever tool is possible to make that song or make that idea come forth. So sometimes rapping or rhyming or whatever, however you want to take it, gets the point across much better than me just singing. Sometimes it's better for me to sing. And like those guys who are doing rhymes now, I mean, they write like 20 pages for one song. I ain't got time for that. That's crazy. Like, you know, so, but it's cool. And I think it's been very interesting on this album because we did do more of it. And I like it. At first it was a bit of a challenge. It wasn't what I heard at first, and then, but some of the songs it just fits, it just feels right, it just flows.
But you also got a really impressive singing voice and that kind of gospel attitude.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, growing up in the States and my family being a pretty devout church people, I mean, I heard a lot of singing as a child. I mean, that's where I first learned to sing. I was in the choir, and then I, through school, I played and I was in plays and all kinds of things. So singing was always just a natural part of my childhood and growing up. So it's just something I've always done.
You are really a master of acting and not acting, but really blowing the audience away.
Well, I think all of us have had a lot of experience with live performance. I think we all come from a real live performance background. Matthias has played with live jazz bands for many years, and Boy has been an entertainer on theater, stage, and everything, and myself as well, since I was very young. So I think that part of performance is just second nature to us, like what it is, what it takes to be. I mean, you could write great songs. Anybody, not anybody, but you can write great songs. But it's another aspect to actually perform it live, to have people believe you and to really feel it and not, I mean, it depends on the music. Sometimes some bands are just, it's just about the music and they put the music out there and they don't have much interaction with people. Some bands, it takes more interaction. I mean, everyone is different and you don't need to do it one specific way. But I think all of us having kind of an entertainment background, we engage with people and it just, I don't know, it just comes across. I think people feel the realness of it. It's not like we're up there trying to front like who we are. We're just like, this is us, and people accept it.
Sometimes it reminds me that you seem to be on a mission, like,
yeah,
definitely
on a mission. We're gonna rock the whole world. What is
What is it, impossible?
It's a mission.
we're about to find out if it's impossible, but you just keep on going.
Yeah, no, I think we are. I mean, it's for myself personally, it's kind of funny, like especially with rock music right now. It's a strange time. Like even when I went back to the States to see like what rock bands are like happening or hot, like hip hop is taking over the entire world. I mean, it's pretty much in the States, it's like the number one selling music in the world right now. And it's like, you know, all power to them. It's great. I love hip hop. You know, I grew up on it. But it's like, it's funny that like rock used to be all over the place, and now. And then you had that merge for a while, I guess, somewhere in the 90s of kind of rock, hip-hop crossing over. And now it's just like, you know, I think we're coming back with rock. Well, with a little bit of hip-hop.
And much more.
And much more.
I realized listening to the recording more and more in order to get ready for the tour. We have one song. I won't say which song and I won't say in which part, but I got this Sepultura feeling. Okay. And you can listen for it, and maybe you'll find it too. It's pretty horrible
as well.
Yeah.
Horrible. You don't
and
like it?
No, of course I like it, but it's just I personally have other moments where I hear like some kind of a Rolling Stones vibe. I even hear a little bit of Queen somewhere, but that's just me. That's just me. But I don't get this different impulses listening to it when I listen to our first two recordings, because they're different in that sense. So I find this one is much more, is more eclectic, and that Claudius feels it's natural for him to rhyme and to sing in a rap flow, or to perform in a rap flow without being a rapper, or to sing a song. We have one song that came about because we were in Copenhagen in the studio, and I said to Boy, should we try a punk song? Because to be quite honest, like Claudius, he's been bragging about the bad brains and how much he was in the punk culture and all this, and he was talking about it like for so many years. I heard him say that to us and to other people, and to be honest, for me it was just I wanted to try to find out, well, okay, what is he going to do if we lay down the punk song? So it was actually, it was kind of a challenge, and
for everybody.
And I haven't made up my mind yet if I'm happy with the outcome, because it's so good. So he passed the challenge, and I have to church inside myself what I really wanted to happen, but I'm glad that he passed the challenge. So he can do a punk song, he can rap, he can sing, low. I mean, he has a lot of different not voices, because it's always his voice, but he can get a message across in many different outfits or costumes, and that I think is pretty cool. And I can see it on the audience, and I can feel it on myself when I play the drums, that it makes me play different from number to number, where I also been in bands before where it's more like
it's quite good, I'd say. That being playing the different from number to number.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I know. Yeah, you mean different tempos. Different tempos.
No, just making sure each number isn't the same.
I've been, I don't know. Again, I'm just talking for myself, but I've been in bands on stage where I felt like, okay, is that this song or is it the other one? While I'm in the middle of a song. And when you find a recipe that works, there's nothing wrong with sticking to it and working it. There's bands out there doing it very well, but because Claudius can do what he can do with his voice, that's what I meant. I feel very, very different.
More variety of patterns that you can use for your drum play.
Yeah, I'm not thinking too much of patterns because I don't have a bass player to play them with.
You got me.
Yeah, boy, but you are busy with all different kinds of strings.
And pedals.
And pedals. And you, yeah.
I just stick to the low ends.
I know, no, of course, no, but yeah. But I think we're not, it's not a guitar riff or drum pattern kind of music. So I don't have a fixed drum pattern in mind when we start. I did that when I was 14. That didn't work.
So, guitar riff. I mean,
yes. That's not a riff.
What is it?
It's a raff. No, of course there are patterns. No, of course there are patterns and riffs in our music. But like you ask me if I have a certain patterns in mind which you want to put in. That's how I understood the questions. And I'm just saying I'm not thinking as a drummer of this band in this way, where I think, okay, I can do something on the drums. Oh, I just wait for the guitar player to play something so I can put this thing in that I have in my mind. It's more like, boy, play something also in the studio or live, and then you just react on it on intuition.
And you got the freedom to react in your proper way.
Yeah. And what you play then, if you write it down or practice it, of course, then it becomes a pattern. But it came out of the music.
Yeah.
But you never think about, like you said, you listen to Queen, Stone, Sepultura. That was never meant to
intended,
be.
No.
To appear.
Not for me. That came, it surprises me. And I'm pretty sure not everyone here says Sepultura and Queen in this recording. But still, that's the beauty of it, that you can surprise each other without talking about it. Because many times when you compose music, you say, wow, I heard this new Jack White recommend. It's great. And I get that. If I hear something that is great, I think, okay, I would have liked to do exactly the same thing, but how can I do something that is similar without being a ripoff? And all this, but all this kind of thinking, all this stream of thoughts, that does not apply to the Hotchkiss situation. That I think is beautiful.
Yeah. Originality is, well, your gift.
You know, it's within every one of us, and if you don't give too many guidelines before you start playing, then everything that comes out is welcome. And if you're in a group of people that resonate musically and hopefully also personally, like in a good way, then it's just cool. Without, then the originality can just come out. You can just be yourself. And hopefully people react on it and we get rich. very rich,
filthy rich.
I mean, when we're talking rich.
No, like, but it's funny that
having a driver on the road, for example, we could.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah.
But you have one.
Yeah, I drive. Yeah, he drives. No, but it was funny because when he talked about the punk song, when I first heard it, that was one of the ones that I actually heard it in New York. And it was like, I was sitting with my boy Johnny, who I grew up with, John Patterson. We call him Leadfoot because he used to play guitar.
And so he wrote the lyrics?
No. So I was like, yo, Johnny, you got to listen to this. And he was just like, immediately he said, yo, who is this? Like DOA. He mentioned some like old school, like LA punk band. I was like, nah, this is one of our new songs. And we were like, because Johnny used to play, he grew up in the ska scene in New York. He played with this band called, Skinnerbox. And like the whole, like, I mean, he knows the hardcore scene as well. We all grew up with that. So it just like, it was just immediate sound. But then going into the studio and doing it was something I had to force myself to not go that direction. Yeah. So I had to sing something completely different, because it would have been very easy to just mimic something of all the stuff that I grew up on. So without without being too obvious, even though the sound is, you know, that straightforward, but vocally I was able to approach it in a way that I hope it still brings something else, so it's not exactly like what we.
It's also what he's just saying, that he has to force himself not to sing it the way he would. and a good proof of that point is when we had the record almost done, all the mixing was done. I think at that point we had a listening session in the studio, and we had one of our guests and a good friend to the band is a very 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 good drummer, playing with a very very good international DJ / band act. So he's really good musician and drummer, and he heard the song, and he gave Claudius somehow he just said to Claudius, while we listened to the song, this punk song, he said, yeah, but he said something like, you have to push more, you're behind the beat, like you sing too slow, because Claudius is comfortable like with taking making this decision and putting that into this song, and it's great, and then that way of singing also responds with what else is happening in the song, so it's really great. I actually really would like to hear the Sour Taste.
And what's happening next? What's the tour is going?
We're going to listen to the Sour Taste, and
no, we have another tour in January, which is
already booked.
Yeah,
most
and
of
even longer.
I think it's 2.5 weeks in January, and we also try to get to the Netherlands and to Belgium. Looks promising, but so far we haven't. We really only play in Germany so far. Try to play more shows in Denmark. What else? And we have to get on top of our game on the social media. So maybe you guys can help us with that. So we try to be better, like sharing what's happening on the road.
Is Snapchat still cool?
Snapchat? Yeah, for 30 seconds. I don't remember what happened a minute ago. No, but like we understand more and more the need of like sharing it more while we are not touring. It comes pretty natural when you're out there reaching out playing and you make a lot of contacts, but like this... bringing it out there. So we're happy for anyone who feels for what we do, sharing it. Can also write a postcard to your best friend and send it.
And, well, the interview will be online forever.
Forever?
Oh, good.
Forever?
Send us the link, so we'll be sharing that. So
you can listen to it on 1,205th birthday, and you can listen to it.
Oh, and we want to start a new campaign. We're going to bring back the old German tradition. I don't remember what it's called, but in America we call it pen pals, where you write a letter to someone in another country, right? And then you just become friends over internationally, and then you're like... We're going to start that. We're going to restart that now.
Real letters.
Real letters. Written letters.
Really?
Yes.
With the carrier pigeons?
No, you put it in a bottle and you put it in the ocean and see it.
Yeah. But it will get caught in all the plastic waste.
On the plastic island.
So your pen pal, he will get very sad. It's like, oh, you don't care about me anymore. I haven't had a letter in 50 years.
Maybe he lives on Plastic Island.
That's the final wisdom.
That's a sour taste in my brain.
All right, take care. Thank you so much for having us here.
Morning.
Thank you very much, Hacha, Claudius, Boy, Matthias.
Thanks.
Peace.